paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man. Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back. The Kickback Pod once again. Another big episode. Episode 60. With me and my man Fobs, as usual. Definitely excited about this episode, guys. We have one of our favorite sports returning in a couple of weeks' time. The NBA is finally back. I'm sure you guys have been keeping up with the NBA offseason. Well, maybe we should talk about Dame Lillard maybe later. Oof. In the pod.
Yeah, but, definitely.
The NBA season has definitely inspired the topic of this episode. We'll be getting into some basketball sneaker talk, guys, later on in the episode. And we're going to talk about a brand that we feel is being, you know, kind of being left in the dark a little bit by sneakerheads right now, and that is Adidas. So we'll be getting into that later in the episode. But before we do all of that, man, my man Fobs, how you doing, bro? How you been?
Man, same answer as always. Talking to you, recording for the pod, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, surprisingly awake at this time of night. Usually my eyes are kind of fluttering shut by now. Obviously, you guys, listeners, will be hearing this at different times of the day and the evening. But we are in Berlin right now recording on the evening of the German reunification anniversary, October 3rd. And I haven't been sleeping that well because obviously my son is still a baby and not the best sleeper. But yeah, man, I'm feeling good. There's one thing that I need to get off my chest, and I feel like I made a big mistake recently. I just signed up for the Berlin Half Marathon, and I have never ran more than I ran 10 kilometers once, and that was like an accident, and that was at the height of like 2020 COVID, everybody and their mom was a runner, you know, at that time, because you couldn't really do anything else. So I am someone who I jog maybe once every 2 to 3 weeks, and now I decided to sign up for the half marathon. So I'm in the midst of coming up with a workout routine, like a training plan, definitely some sort of nutrition plan, because I am at least 30 kilos overweight, but if I want to finish these 21 or 22 kilometers or whatever it is, I definitely need to shed some lbs. So that's where I'm at right now. I don't know, have you ever run anything, or you don't really run, do you?
I've been using this app, and the app is actually called Couch to 5k. I don't know if you've heard of this app. It's for people who just don't run at all and want to try to start running. And I got up until week 4, where I was able to run without stopping for 20 minutes, which for me was a lot, man. That was a lot. I know it's not sounding like a lot, but 20 minutes for me is a lot. My cardio is not that great.
But is it the cardio for you, or is it more you get bored? Because for me, it's a mixture of... I think that truly my cardio and my physical ability is good enough to run. I could probably, if I wanted to, run a half marathon tomorrow. It would hurt like hell, and I'd probably be really slow. But for me, it's more the mental aspect, the discipline to stay focused, to actually push through the pain and do it. And I'm someone who, if something is painful, if something's uncomfortable, I don't want to say that I quit, but I'm I don't need this right now. And I'll make excuses to run as little as possible, for example. So,
is that the case? That's a big, big commitment, man. When is the half marathon?
So it's in exactly 6 months. It's on April 7th. It'll be 5 days after my 31st birthday. And I'm hoping to go into it in the shape of my life, in the form of my life.
You're going to be training in the winter like Rocky.
I was going to say, the reality definitely looks a little bit different, especially in Berlin when you've got those frigid winters and those gray, unappealing days where you just don't want to go outside. So it's going to be a struggle for sure. So any emotional, mental support that you or anyone listening to this can give me in the next 6 months, I would much appreciate it.
No, that's dope, man. I actually know quite a few people who, you know, let's say they haven't been going to the gym for a while, or they've just kind of lost their fitness routine. They'll sign up for the marathon, and it kind of kickstarts the whole process again. Like, the motivation's back. They know they have this date where they got to be fit by. And I think that's something you're trying to do as well, right? So it's, yeah, it's, I think it's good, man. I think it's one way to jumpstart a workout routine, you know?
I mean, definitely. I signed up for the, I officially signed up and paid the entrance fee, which was quite expensive, actually, 90 euros, right? For the, to run 22 kilometers. But
is that
I
like
signed up,
to charity, or that's just like a fee for the organization?
It's a fee because the organization has to, like, actually, you know, puts out a lot of money to organize this. You get like a tracking so that you can be tracked by your friends and family in real time.
Right.
So there you do get, you know, you do get something for that money. I just, you know, was like a bit like, oh shit, I'm really gonna invest. And it's also probably good that I invested 90 euros into it, because it's gonna push me to work out more. But to your point about people using it to kickstart a routine, I signed up yesterday, and today I'm already feeling guilty that I didn't go running today, you know, like one day after I signed up. Even though there was no chance for me to go running today. So yeah, let's see. I'm sure that we will be speaking about my running journey in the upcoming months, in the upcoming episodes. But you also have some big, I guess, news or big topics in your life right now. What's going on?
Yeah, like, I mean, the last couple of weeks, I've just been very busy planning a wedding. My wedding is next year, next summer. And the last couple of weeks have just been super intense. I don't know if anyone listening to the pod has tried planning a wedding before. It is intense. There's a lot of things to account for, a lot of people to account for. And we decided, you know, we're not going to try to do this ourselves. We're going to try hiring someone to help with it. So last couple of weeks, just talking to countless wedding planners, looking at potential venues. It was a lot to deal with the last few weeks, but luckily we have landed on a venue. So nice. One of the most stressful parts of the process is over now. So hopefully the next few months will be a little bit more relaxing. But yeah, planning a wedding is crazy business, man.
But imagine you didn't have a wedding planner, because it's already so much that you have to do, and the wedding planner is taking care of all the final fine details, right? But you still have to make all of these decisions. So
yeah, but I don't mind just, you know, making the decision. The wedding planner sent us a list, like a Google spreadsheet, of all of the things that need to happen for the wedding, like things that need to be ordered, of, you know, photographer, like videographer, like all these things. And it was like it had like almost 70 line items on that
Jesus.
Spreadsheet, and I was just like, yeah, man, like, you handle this. I'm gonna pay you to handle this. I'm not dealing with this. So it's kind of wild, man. So yeah, well, that whole cycle has gotten kickstarted now. And yeah, I guess this is going to be something I'm going to be dealing with for a lot more months, but I'm very, very, very excited to marry my beautiful fiance. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful thing too, right? Like, it's something that obviously can be stressful in certain moments, but when you remind yourself that it's all for this, you know, super special day that you both want to be perfect, and the wedding planner is helping you make that perfect, in the end, it's all gonna be worth it. So I'm also very much looking forward to your journey, but then also the special day.
Yeah, man. Thank you. So let's move on with the episode. So let's first shout out the listener of the week. That is his hashtag, his IG handle is @CRAN. That's Cran. That's Jonathan Cran, who, by the way, is the store manager of the new Kith Toronto store that just opened up. Big listener of the pod as well. You guys might know him. You guys might be following his Instagram as well. He's got some of the most beautiful pictures of shoes. I've told him before, he can make shoes that I'm not even thinking of copying. He'll take pictures of them, post them, and now I'm like, okay, damn, now I need them.
Yeah, I'm always jealous of people who, sure. I'm always jealous of people who are able to just capture anything, whether it's sneakers or landscapes or architecture, in such a beautiful way. And I know that, like, a lot of post-production goes into it, like some editing and stuff, but you really need to have an eye for the composition and everything like that. I would say that, you know, my co-host for Oshun Amadeus is also one of those people where, like, when I'm watching his story, like, all of these pictures are so visually appealing to me. And I'm like, damn, like, I could never, you know, like, my Instagram story looks so amateur. But Cran, I mean, Jonathan is definitely one of the better guys out there when it comes to capturing sneakers. And also from my side, shout out to the opening of the Toronto Kith store. I mean, Kith is literally taking over the world. I've never been to Canada, but it's definitely made it more appealing now to visit Toronto. So yeah, shout out, man, for me as well.
Yeah, actually the store made it to my fiance's mom, who happens to live in that same neighborhood where the store was. She sent her a picture and she was like, what's going on? Every single day there's like a mob of people outside this new store. Do you know what this is?
So, I love when people who are not into the whole scene or have no idea are like, what are you like, what are these people lining up for? Why are people here? You know, it's just always cool to see other people from outside kind of get a glimpse into what we go crazy for pretty much every day or every week.
Yeah, crazy, man. Well, shout out to you, Krent. Thank you for listening to the pod. Hopefully we'll have you on the pod soon as a guest. But now let's get into what we have been wearing. Fobs, what's been on your feet lately?
Yeah, so in the last episode, I told you guys about the Union Air Jordan 1s that I picked up. I actually traded four. And we talked a lot, me and you, JD, about what, you know, why people like these shoes, or, you know, why I like these shoes. And I've been wearing them a lot recently, and I have to say that they're actually surprisingly comfortable. I'm not a huge fan of the, and obviously, like, nothing comparable to like the usual running shoes and stuff like that I wear, but I'm not a huge fan of Air Jordan 1s when it comes to comfort. And these ones have pleasantly surprised me. I think it's probably also because I sized up like a full size, because a lot of people have said that the toe box is a little bit different due to the weaved pattern across it. And I have to say that the leather is, I mean, it's not like a full grain, like amazing, you know, luxury level quality leather. But when you compare it to other Air Jordan 1s, especially general releases, it's quite soft. And I hate to use this term because it's become a meme in the scene, but it is quite buttery and it feels quite nice on foot. So I've been wearing those surprisingly a lot and been pairing them with, you know, some flowy Issey Miyake On Plisse pants. So very, very happy with that pickup for sure in retrospect. Oh,
I didn't know the thing about the sizing. You got to go up a whole size in these. That's interesting.
I don't know if you have to, but I did, because I heard from some other people that, like, you had to get used to, like, the toe box felt different. And so I figured I would go up a whole size, and so far, super comfortable, more comfortable than the Shadow 1s that I have. And I have those in a size smaller. They still fit, but yeah. So maybe, I don't know if it was the sizing up that did it, but definitely a surprisingly comfortable shoe. What about you? What have you been wearing?
So I recently picked up a shoe, the Jordan 1 Low Shashiko Denim. This was part of the Sneakers Day releases. And it was a shoe that, to be honest, I bought it simply because I'm like, I'm just going to review it on the channel and peace out, return it, which is what I do with a lot of sneakers, kind of just, you know, to make content. And this was a sneaker that I'm like, wait, like, this is actually a really, really dope shoe. I love the stitching kind of fraying on the shoe. It looks really raw, kind of unfinished. I also love that whole concept of shishiko, that Japanese embroidery. I'm obviously a sucker for anything Japanese, and I love the storytelling with the shoe. The midsole is maybe a bit too yellow, but I think when you're looking at the shoe from afar, it doesn't look bad at all. And I love the colorway as well. I think I actually prefer this pair more than pretty much any other denim Jordan we've seen. I even like it more than, let's say, the Levi's 4s even. It's a great shoe. It's so I decided to keep mine because I'm just like, I didn't want to let it go. Very comfy as well. Yeah, that's mainly been what I've just been beating that one to death pretty much. Just been wearing it pretty much every other day. So yeah, that's what's been on my feet.
Those are going to look real good worn as well. And I have to say that when I saw them, they might not be a shoe that I would have pay for and buy for myself, but I love seeing them on other people. And, you know, when we hung out the other week, I think you were wearing them when we were watching Bundesliga.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we were. When we were, we were watching Premier League. Oh, no, Bundesliga.
Yeah. And
actually, speaking of which, did you, I signed up today to get Euro 2024 tickets.
Today, no, I haven't signed up yet.
Today was officially opening day where you could apply to get tickets. It's for anyone listening to the pod, you don't have to rush to your computer right now and get it, because it's open until October 27th. So Germany will be hosting Euro 2024. So there's quite a few matches in Berlin, including the final.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna apply to a bunch of Berlin games, but then a bunch of friends and I have also decided that we're gonna pick like certain cities and have like so one of my friends is from Cologne, for example. So we would pick Cologne or Düsseldorf or something near there and use that as like a base. So we could stay at his parents' place or whatever, his friend's place, and then go to see like two or three games there over a week. And all of us, we're all gonna sign up for 4 or 5 tickets each. And then the chances are higher that one of us will, you know, win the chance to buy the tickets, and then we can all go. So it's basically an easier way to guarantee yourself a game, because definitely want to check out the Euros when they're in my own country. So yeah, definitely a big day, but I haven't signed up yet. I will probably do so in the next few days. Anyway, that being said, let's get to the latest pickups. I know that you have a few, so let's hear. What did you pick up in the last few weeks?
Well, unfortunately, all the nice weather in Berlin is now over, so we're now moving into 6 months of rain. So in order to prepare for that, I definitely wanted to finally get some waterproof sneakers, because I actually don't even own any, and I don't like wearing rain boots, any of that stuff. So I ended up buying myself this week the Salomon XT6 Gore-Tex, not only because it is a waterproof sneaker, it's Gore-Tex covered, also because I just really love this colorway. It's the black and gray colorway, which came out last year. I missed out on them last year, and now it seemed like they've restocked everywhere, including the Salomon website. Also, quite a few other colorways of the Gore-Tex XT6s have come out, so I definitely didn't want to miss out again, so I went ahead and bought one in my size, and that's probably going to be my go-to sneaker for the rest of the year, at least here in Berlin. So yeah, that was probably my favorite pickup. I also got the recently released SB Dunk Albino and Preto. Shout out to Civilist for the raffle win on that one. I don't know if you've seen these dunks already, but they are very much inspired by the sport of jiu-jitsu. And actually, I talked about this in my review. When I looked at the promotional video that Nike SB Skateboarding put on YouTube for this shoe, all of the comments were people complaining about, why is Nike collabing with jiu-jitsu? Like, what does jiu-jitsu have to do with skateboarding? And personally, I just didn't understand this argument at all, because you can literally say that about any SB Dunk. Like, what does SB Dunks have to do with ice cream? Like, why do we have Ben and Jerry Dunks? What does SB Dunks have to do with Powerpuff Girls? What does SB Dunks have to do with, like, infinite collabs in the past, you know? Like, I mean, I don't get that argument. I don't know why people were so pissed off about the jiu-jitsu dunks, but do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, Nike SB in general has been all about just being silly and taking inspiration from everywhere, and that's kind of a reflection of skateboarding culture, right? Like, skateboarders generally are very anti-establishment. They do whatever they want. They, you know, cultural, not appropriate, but like, yeah, they appropriate different cultures and make it their own. That's where like all the logo flips and the luxury logo flips came from back in the day. So I think it is weird, like you said, that people would be like, oh, what does jiu-jitsu have to do with SB Dunks or SB or whatever? I think really it's whatever Nike SB wants to do with it. And if it's a good execution and has a cool backstory, then, you know, why can't that be a part of the lineup, in my opinion?
Yeah, I agree. The dunks were very well executed. I love the storytelling of the different colored jiu-jitsu belts that went underneath the canvas upper. So the more you skate those shoes, the more the canvas rips away and you see those colors underneath. So kind of like you yourself are earning your stripes, similar to how you would in jiu-jitsu. I thought that was pretty cool storytelling. So that was my second pair. And the last pair that I picked up was the J Balvin Jordan 3. These I actually paid resale for because they were impossible to get. And big time fan of J Balvin himself. The shoes are pretty great as well. I wouldn't say like they're my favorite sneakers ever, because from some angles they kind of look like a grade school shoe, the way the colors are done. But I do think it's his best sneaker that he's dropped out of the ones and the twos easily. And a lot of people calling it their sneaker of the year. I still think the SB Jordan 4 would beat that one by quite a bit. But it's a great shoe. I think it looks pretty good. I love the coconut color or the sail color on the upper instead of white there. And I just thought the execution of being the colors being inspired by the Medellin sunsets, very nicely executed on the back of the shoe. I know actually that you managed to cop a pair, but not for yourself, right?
Yeah, good segue. I actually really, really wanted a pair for myself and also for Lenny. I ended up getting a pair from Nike Sneakers for Lenny in his size, kind of. Like, he needs to grow into them, but he can probably wear them in a month or two, which would be really dope. Like, wear them properly and be able to walk in them properly. But I missed out. I signed up for a lot of raffles. I tried to get them through Nike Sneakers in my size. And like you said, it was actually really, really difficult. And I have to echo everything you said. I think these are his best shoes so far. They're super nice. I love the inspiration of the sunset. I love that they didn't go overboard with the colors of the sunset. It was just kind of the details and the accents where they put these colors. Otherwise, it might have been a bit too much and too extra. And I think his, his twos were a little bit too extra with like the light up, you know, like they had like some weird light up. Or was it the ones? I don't remember. But anyway.
The twos had the clouds at the back and the glow in the dark outsole as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, whatever, you know, like it's a bit gimmicky, it's a bit much, and I thought the threes were very, very tastefully done. So actually very happy with that pickup, even if it wasn't in my own size. You know, might have to like shrink my feet or something so I can wear them. And then I also had a couple of other pickups over the past few weeks. I got the Heisen Abaidi Bapesta in that like nice, like natural tan leather colorway. I actually only got these because I got them on discount through a friend that works there. So shout out at this point to the plug, you know who you are, because, you know, 300 euros would have been a little bit too much for me to spend on those, but I got a good deal, and I'm quite happy.
Pretty fire, man. The Heisen Abaidi logo at the back there looks sick.
Yeah, exactly. So, and obviously, you know, gotta shout out my ex employer, and you know, when they do cool stuff, I gotta support where I can. So I got those, and then I also got the A Cold Wall Nike TNs in the triple black colorway, which anyone who has listened to this podcast or has listened to Oshun or just in general has talked to me about sneakers knows I actually do not like triple black shoes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm very surprised that you went for the triple black instead of the white.
Well, actually, I wanted all three colorways, right? But the blue one was sold out so quickly. And then I actually bought the white one and the black one, but I sent the white one back because I was not happy with the quality. The air bubble was like yellowing a little bit already, and there were like glue stains everywhere. So I prefer the white colorway, but ended up keeping the black one because the quality on that one was super nice and the quality on the white one wasn't so great. I have to say the leather on these is amazing. So comfortable. I don't find TNs particularly comfortable depending on what material they're made out of, but these ones with the full grain leather upper, oof, man. I mean, these fit like a glove. Super, super nice. So, really happy with those, and we'll probably be wearing these a lot in the winter because I feel like triple black is always a good colorway to wear when, you know, the weather's not so great. That wraps up my latest pickups. I think we had a very nice, varied selection here from both of us, a little bit of SB, a little bit of Nike, a little bit of Bape, and then obviously your Salomons that you picked up as well. Let's move on to the big topic of the day. As Josh teased earlier in the episode, we are talking about Adidas basketball today. And let me preface this by saying that we have probably been, you know, shitting on Adidas a little bit recently, saying that, you know, they lucked into the Gazelle and Samba hype, and that, you know, a lot of the things they're bringing out isn't really resonating with sneakerheads or with customers in general. You've seen all of the media coverage of how, you know, they have really struggled financially due to getting rid of Yeezy as well. How much of that is true, you know, remains to be seen. I feel like a lot of companies are struggling at the moment with inflation, so that could also be playing a role. But in general, on this podcast, we have not really had many great things to say about Adidas. We've said that, you know, they have good shoes, but they're not pushing them properly, that they actually have really, really good 2000s runners in the CL Response or the Supernova 7. But where are we seeing these shoes? We're not really seeing them anywhere. They're on sale. The colorways aren't being pushed. There's no collaboration. So, long story short, Adidas has not really been doing well in our eyes over the last 12 to 18 months. And whilst a lot of that is still true, we do need to give the brand with the three stripes major props where props are due. And that is when we talk about basketball, because their basketball footwear and apparel is looking really good. I mean, really, really fresh. And how much of an influence Jerry Lorenzo has had is unclear. I know that Jerry and Fear of God released a statement last year saying, or early this year, saying that he had no involvement with the Adidas basketball collections and campaigns that have come out recently. And that was actually the initial point of his hiring, that he was supposed to be creative director of Adidas basketball. But from what I understand, the partnership has evolved to become more of a Adidas supporting Jerry with his Fear of God athletics venture, similarly to how Kanye founded Yeezy, right? And that was using their logistics, their production capacities and know-how to create his designs, and he was like the creative director there. So I don't think that Jerry Lorenzo has had too much to do with what's coming out for Adidas basketball, but I would say that the influence or the inspiration from Fear of God is clear. And I don't know what you would say to this, but, you know, Adidas basketball has had trouble keeping up with Nike over the last, I would say, 10 years when it comes to basketball. And then even in the last few years, new brands or brands that are re-entering the market, such as New Balance or Puma, and even Converse, have been giving Adidas a bit of a hard time with, you know, some cool sneaker drops or some big moments with Kawhi Leonard for New Balance, for example. And whilst Adidas has been the number two, they've been like quite far off the number one spot. And I have a feeling that that's changing a little bit. But like, what are your thoughts on that whole statement?
Yeah, no, definitely I agree that over the last 10 years, they have been pretty far behind in terms of some of the most innovative basketball sneakers in the last 10 years. If I'm trying to, you know, just think of some of the ones that come to my head, were the Hardens. The Hardens were good because they had some Boost in them, and people at the time, Boost had so much hype, so there was a lot of hype with those Hardens. But yeah, it's been obviously Nike dominating as usual, and New Balance have really come on strong by signing some big athletes over the last couple of years. I feel like it kind of sucks with Adidas too, because the one athlete that they put a lot of faith into to really revive Adidas basketball basically blew out his knee, right? Like with Derrick Rose, like you remember,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Derrick, like they had put so much faith. They had signed him to like a, I think he's still getting paid off that contract actually. Like they signed him to some ridiculous contract.
I mean, they're still releasing signature sneakers for him. And at this point, I also have to say, like, his sneakers are some of the best and have always been some of the best in the game. And a lot of my friends, I mean, I played basketball growing up in Thailand. I was never crazy good, but you know, I enjoyed playing it. And a lot of my friends who still play to this day say that Adidas basketball shoes are actually better quality than Nike shoes. They hold up better. They have better traction. They have better cushioning, but they're just not as sexy. And so they don't sell as well, or, you know, you don't see them as much, and they don't have that like star power that obviously Nike has with Kevin Durant, LeBron James, obviously not anymore, but formerly Kyrie Irving. And then, you know, obviously the whole Kobe Bryant line that has been, and obviously Michael Jordan, if we're going to bring Jordan brand into things. So Adidas has always had the product. They've just not been able to really capitalize on it and maybe make it look visually appealing. Like, it's been good to play with, but not really cool to wear in a way. And I feel like that's changing a little bit right now as well.
It definitely seems like it's changing. So we can, you know, even look at some of the apparel for Adidas basketball. I know you're saying, or I know Jerry said that he's not involved in that in any ways. And I find that very hard to believe, because some of this newer Adidas basketball stuff, to me, it just looks like something straight out of a Fog Essentials lookbook.
100%.
The super baggy, the slouchy shoulders, the very relaxed fits of these. The one standout piece for me is also those vests that have like the Trefoil logo on them. I've seen actually a lot of people just trying to style that in different outfits. It's just a very aesthetically pleasing type of vest that looks good on top of like a sweater, which is crazy. Like, people are trying to style Adidas basketball apparel now, which is just saying a lot about where, how far it's come, I guess, stylistically. But I definitely see some Fog influence here. But what do you think? You think Jerry's lying that he wasn't involved?
I don't know. Like, maybe he really wasn't involved, but like, him being, because he's posted a lot of pictures on campus, right? And like on the Adidas campus, and he's obviously been there. He's been working there. He's been talking to a lot of the designers. And maybe in the early days, they were feeding off of a lot of what he was saying, a lot of what he was bringing to the table, a lot of ideas he had. And I mean, why not take Fear of God as inspiration, right? I mean, it's a great brand. It's not accessible when it comes to price, but what Adidas is doing is really smart. They're creating pieces that remind you of Fear of God Mainline or Fear of God Athletics, because I feel like Fear of God Athletics is going to have similar pricing to Mainline Fear of God, right? That's why it's called Fear of God Athletics. But what Adidas is doing is making this stuff accessible, similar to the Essentials line, right? And giving it maybe a sporty twist. I mean, I'm scrolling through the catalog right now, and we were looking at this earlier before we recorded as well. And a lot of the styling, a lot of the neutral color tones that are being used, if you took away the Adidas logo and you put these on the Fear of God Instagram, I don't think many people would realize that it's not actually officially Fear of God. Which is cool, because I'm seeing prices here like 80 euros for a sweater, or, you know, 100 euros for a hoodie. And, you know, it's not nothing, but it's pretty much nothing compared to the 1,000 euro prices that Fear of God charges. So I can see some definite inspiration from Fear of God and Jerry Lorenzo. Whether he really instructed Adidas to do this is unclear. Nobody knows from the outside. If he says he didn't, you know, we have to take his word and believe him. But there's some definite Fear of God aesthetics going on with the apparel. And
yeah, I mean, one thing's for certain, the Adidas basketball apparel is, it's way better than the Nike basketball apparel right now. There's a lot of, like, this is something that I could just want to wear this casually. A lot of this stuff looks great. And just from the apparel point of view, I feel like they've come a long way. But now let's get into the sneakers, though, because that's where really in the last couple of years, Adidas has really taken off. I feel like that's where we're seeing a lot of the innovation in basketball sneakers, which you don't really see anymore, especially when it comes to design. Starting off with the Crazy Infinity, which you guys know, it's pretty much just a updated, more modernized version of Kobe's signature sneaker. Were they called the Kobe Ones, or was there a different name for it?
Back in the day, they were called the Kobe ones, but then obviously when Kobe moved to Nike, Adidas were not allowed to use the Kobe name anymore.
Because they were called the Crazy ones.
Yeah, exactly. So they changed them to the Crazy ones. And now the Crazy Infinity, as you said, is kind of a re-up of that original signature line. And what I was saying, I don't know if it was here, but it was definitely on the Oshuan podcast a couple episodes ago. I was saying that this is literally how the shoe should have looked back when they designed it, you know, because it's still got that like 2000s aesthetic. It's very bulky. It looks like it's got like this like foam outer layer, almost like the Foamposite, but like in an Adidas style. But it looks, you know, like with a zipper to hide the laces and everything. It looks really sporty, but also like quite aesthetically, visually appealing on the lifestyle side of things. And the Kobe one, or the Crazy one as it's now called, it looked like a block of cheese. It was inspired, I think it was inspired by the Audi TT, like a sports car, but like the way that they really applied that to the shoe was just not cool. And I think it was also a big reason why Adidas lost Kobe in the end, because they just couldn't create a shoe that was cool and functional. So looking back now at that shoe, it's a bit of a like a classic, in the same way that like ugly cars become classics later on because they're appreciated through a different lens because they're retro. But at the time, this was an ugly shoe, but the Crazy Infinity is so nice. And if that had been Kobe's first shoe, and if they built on that, then maybe Kobe would have still been with Adidas when he retired.
Yeah, totally, man. Like the crazy one and two were so bad that Kobe literally lost millions of dollars of his own money to get out of his deal. He actually paid Adidas to get out of that deal. So that's how bad those sneakers were. According to Kobe, looking back at it, a lot of people would argue that they were classics. But another thing I wanted to quickly add about the Crazy Infinity is I've noticed, at least because I dropped a video on that shoe, the sneaker seems to be appealing to a younger audience as well, for a totally different reason. A lot of people are calling it an opium shoe. And for those of you who don't know what that means, there's a very popular rapper named Playboi Carti who has developed this whole fashion, I guess, style, which people would like to refer to as opium, where you kind of dress like, I guess, like a vampire, if I were to describe it in one word. And people who dress in this kind of aesthetic gravitate towards shoes like the Crazy Infinity. And I've had people comment on my video saying, wow, this is the most opium looking sneaker I've ever seen. So it's kind of like crazy that this sneaker inadvertently has appealed to a whole different demographic of a younger audience for a totally different reason, which I thought was pretty funny as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well, that like it's like we were both saying, it speaks to an audience outside of performance basketball. And that's a good thing, especially in this day and age where you kind of, the lines are blurred between performance and lifestyle. A couple of other sneakers that have also been, you know, catching my eye, at least when I'm browsing the Adidas basketball catalog, is the Harden Volume 7, which I'm kind of getting Air Jordan 12 vibes from a little bit, but like in an Adidas way. What I really like about that shoe is it's got the rounded heel, which reminds me of the Derrick Rose signature sneakers. And then the Trae Young 3, I think, is also a super cool shoe. It's got this like the midsole and kind of the upper is modeled after those really popular new age Adiletten, the slides, the 2023 slides that came out, where it's got that like almost geographic mapped out aesthetic, if that makes sense. I mean, if you take a look at it, if you Google the Trae Young 3, you'll know what I mean. And I think those are really good releases, the Hardens, the Trae Youngs, that have been kind of keeping this momentum alive and giving fans of basketball like very, very good performance shoes with a more refined aesthetic. I feel like if you look at all the shoes together, you get a sense that Adidas basketball is moving in one direction and not in many different directions, which was maybe what was happening over the last 5 to 10 years where, you know, each signature athlete had very, very different shoes. And maybe that was a strategy that at the time made sense because they wanted to get very different kinds of players to buy these shoes. But I think it works a lot better when, you know, Adidas basketball has a unified visual identity, which is what's happening now. And actually one shoe that I wanted to talk about a little bit more, at least mention, is the AE1, which is the new Adidas basketball performance shoe that was just launched to great fanfare in the States. I believe there was an event in LA where there was a Porsche that had the same kind of pattern decaled on it. And the AE is, to me, it looks a little bit similar to the Yeezy basketball shoe. It's got a very distinct design language. It goes in the same direction as the Crazy Infinity, as the Harden, as the Trae Young. It's quite modern. It's a sneaker that honestly I could see myself wearing lifestyle, you know, in a lifestyle way. And that's crazy to me because the last time people wore basketball performance sneakers in a lifestyle way was what, like 10, 12, 15 years ago, like the early mid 2000s. That's when like the LeBrons and the Kobes were really hot. And so, I mean, have you seen the shoe? It's super nice.
The AE1, I was just going to say, I think that's arguably the dopest basketball sneaker I've seen in like the last five years at least. They are so fire. I mean, they look like, a lot of people saying it looks like there's some Yeezy influence there, but I don't think so because the outer part of the shoe to me looks like it was 3D printed or something like that. And I haven't really seen another Yeezy with that type of look. The outsole reminds me of the Yeezy 700s a little bit, but I think that, wow, that is innovative. I have never seen a basketball shoe look like that. That's totally something that you could wear off the court and it would look just as fire. I'm actually kind of shocked that they would put out a sneaker that looks this different, like this innovative, as part of their basketball line, because I feel like this sneaker would have done really well even as just a general lifestyle shoe. But shout out to, by the way, AE is Anthony Edwards from the Minnesota Timberwolves. So yeah, shout out to him. If he had any hand in the designing of this sneaker, I think he's probably got the best signature sneaker, at least looks wise, in the NBA right now.
Man, I mean, it looks so futuristic. It looks fast. It looks powerful. It looks like you could, like, it looks like I could put these on and dunk, you know? Or, like, if you saw me wearing these on the street, you'd be like, yeah, this guy can dunk, even though I most definitely cannot. So, super cool shoe. And then, obviously, like, I mean, to round out the whole sneaker segment here, the Fear of God athletic sneakers that are coming out later this year. There's three performance basketball shoes, and then also several... Fear of God takes of classic Adidas sneakers that will be dropping. But the performance basketball shoes are very, very cool. They also, like the Crazy Infinity, like the AE, blend the lines between lifestyle and performance. And especially the way that Fear of God and Jerry Lorenzo have styled these on the models, they don't look necessarily like you could hoop in them or should hoop in them because of the way that the models are wearing like draped clothing. And by the way, side note, like I think I'm gonna go broke buying Fear of God athletic stuff because that stuff looks so nice. It looks so cozy. I just want to wear Fear of God athletics all day, every single day.
When is my stuff coming out?
Q4 2023. Soon. Yes, it's gonna be an expensive Christmas, that's for sure. But back to the sneakers, I think if you look at all three of them, they all have a very, when we've said this many times now, but a very distinct design language. They all flow together. They look really good. And I'm getting, you know, early Yeezy 700 vibes from some of them. But yeah, I mean, what do you think about these shoes?
I love them. I think I love the three stripes, man. Like they look, I'm talking about the three stripes on the shoe itself, the Fear of God ones. They're so chunky. I don't think I've seen the three stripes look that chunky before. And it does kind of remind me of the 700s in a way. But I think they have a very clear Fear of God aesthetic on the shoe. I know he's been working on this now for 3 years. But I think if this is the product we're going to get, and I don't know if you've also seen those Fear of God, I think they're the Campus Lows Have you seen those? And also all of this potential, Fear of God, Adidas, athletics clothing. I feel like it's been worth the wait, because these products that might come out, and seems like they will come out. Yeah, I agree, man. I'm not even a big Fear of God guy, but these are dope. All of them. I think he's doing a great job there influencing some of the other designs as well. He must have clearly had an influence on this AE1, which I think I might have even liked the AE1 better than these Fear of God Adidas basketball shoes, to be honest. But man, these are definitely fire. Looking forward to Q4.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so that kind of rounds up what Adidas has been doing really well, which is the apparel and also the signature sneakers and a mix of lifestyle, you know, vibes in there. But what has also kind of helped Adidas's case, at least on the basketball side, is, in my opinion, that Nike has been a bit out of order. You know, obviously, as we said earlier, Nike has had a huge head start over the last 10 years over Adidas and over any other brand. And it would take a lot for Adidas to catch up. But I think that's happening, because I think Adidas is doing so well, as we just outlined, and Nike is not doing so well. I think Nike has been quite boring, actually, over the last few years. I think outside of the Kobe and the LeBron lines, most signature sneakers look so same. Similar. They look the same. And I've been saying this over and over. They look like the old Kyries, like this mid-top sneaker with a swoosh. And even within that, they all look the same, but there doesn't really seem to be a coherent look and feel to Nike basketball strategy. You've got, you know, the Devin Booker, which looks almost like a pair of Timberlands that were turned into a basketball shoe. Like, they're so boring. And Devin Booker is not a boring player. He is such a skilled player. He's such a good shooter. He's such a good scorer. And then you're going to give him these shoes? It's almost like... And I know I'm ranting a little bit here, but it's almost like it's a rite of passage for Nike signature athletes in the basketball department to get a crappy first shoe, or like, you know, like a very vanilla shoe. The Ja 1 also looks very similar, in my opinion, and is also quite boring. And then what I thought was even worse was that the Giannis shoes, they were always a little bit different, right? Because they...
At least they looked... like you were mentioning that only the Kobe's and LeBron's kind of look different. Everything else looked the same. I remember when I saw the Freak ones, I was like, okay, that shoe looks like they did something a little different. You know, they put the swoosh on the heel, which we had not really seen before. And I thought, okay, cool. At least they're doing something different design-wise.
But then if you look at the new one, the Giannis 4, it looks exactly like the Devin Booker or the Ja 1. And... the LeBrons, the new ones, are actually super dope. I like them. But even those are looking like a mid-top shoe. Like, if you squint, they look very similar to the Kyries. They look very similar to the Devin Bookers. They're not as, like, the golden age of LeBrons was like the, I don't know, what was it? Like the 14, 15 to 18. They were different. And now it's all just homogenized. And, you know, I mean, it seems to be a clear strategy that Nike has, but in my personal opinion, it's not paying off. They're not good shoes. And and I don't see this really working long-term, especially when other brands like Adidas are really bringing out fire and catching up. So I would, if I was Nike basketball, I would be a little bit worried, especially because if you look at Jordan brand, I mean, who do you know has ever bought one of the new Jordan performance shoes?
And nah, nobody, man.
the Tatums or the Doncic shoes, they're not that great either. And then the Zion Williamson ones too. Like, they're all just a bit forgettable. And I think that's where Nike is lacking, that these shoes, a lot of them, they're probably great performance shoes, the Jordans especially, but they look too performance. When you look at the Adidas shoes that are coming out now, you could wear a lot of these as lifestyle shoes too, even though they are geared to high performance athletes. And I think that's where the disconnect is for Nike basketball, for sure.
I think with Nike basketball too, fans have definitely voiced their opinions about the way they've been handling certain athletes, which has led to some kind of divide, definitely, with fans of the brand. with the way they've handled the whole Kyrie situation. If you look underneath, if you look at the comment section of pretty much anything Nike basketball posts, like half the comments are bring Kyrie back, you know, like people were visibly upset with Nike letting him go, and also with the way Nike has kind of handled this whole Ja Morant situation. I don't know if you saw that recent sneaker which had a little quote at the back of it which said we ain't ducking no smoke, for the latest Ja sneaker, which Nike corrected and put a patch over it in the updated official photos. But the fact that they were going to release that sneaker originally just tells me, like, okay, either Nike is kind of like very tone deaf on what's been happening with this athlete, because how they would have possibly approved that design is just beyond me. But yeah, I feel like Nike is just not handling some of their athletes very well right now, and fans have been noticing. And yeah, and of course, like as you said, all of your points, the design language has been very boring. The Devin Booker sneaker, man, that does look like to me like a Payless basketball shoe, you know, like something you would literally find at Payless shoe stores. It's very, very vanilla. And yeah, man, like I feel like if you look over at Adidas, man, like there's so much innovation going on in their basketball, and I feel like it's not getting enough attention.
Yeah, and that's why we made this pod. That's why we made this episode, because we hope to, you know, even superficially shine a light on what Adidas basketball is doing. We'd obviously love to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts on Nike versus Adidas basketball? What sneakers are you feeling? Which ones do you think are kind of overrated at the moment? And also, what do you guys think about the visual design languages of Adidas and Nike? And what's it going to look like in the coming months or even years? With that being said, that rounds out this big topic of the episode, and we can jump into the upcoming drops. Josh, do you want to take us through those?
Yeah, let's go. So October is looking like a pretty, pretty nice month. So in the next couple of weeks, first of all, October the 5th, we have the Concepts and New Balance 998 C-Note, which I believe is a re-release of this pair. Like I believe it released back in the early 2000s, and now it's getting a modern update. So that should be dropping on October 5th on Concepts website. And then on October 6th, we have the Ambush Nike Air More Uptempo Lows. It's dropping in two colorways. You're getting your classic black and white colorway. I don't think we've seen a low top of the More Uptempos before, have we?
The first? I think, maybe not in a long time, at least.
Okay, so this will be dropping in two colorways. The second colorway is much louder. It's like a purple, pink, and green colorway. So that's looking definitely pretty crazy. Then also on October the 6th, we already talked about this shoe earlier, the Crazy Infinity will be releasing in a triple black colorway. And definitely those Opium Boys that I talked about later in the episode, this shoe might sell out simply because I feel like all of the Playboy Cardi fans are going to cop every single pair of this shoe. Then we have on October the 6th, we have a collab with Japanese brand Needles, who will be doing the A6 EX89, which if you guys haven't seen the shoe already, it is a competitor of the New Balance 550, very similar aesthetic on those sneakers. This will be dropping on October the 6th. Also October the 6th, we have the Ima Bari and A6 Gel NYC. And this one is pretty special because the Gel NYCs, I've said it before, you can make an argument that it is the best new sneaker to drop this year. And this pair right here is very different looking. Is that patent leather I see on there? That's pretty nice. And it's got this blue color, looking like it's kind of Japanese inspired for sure. But yeah, this one, the Gel NYC collab with Ima Bari, dropping on October 6th. Then on October 13th, probably the most hyped sneaker to drop this month, we have the Jordan 1 Low Travis Scott golf dropping. And I don't know how much sense that makes considering considering we are in the middle of October, man. It is definitely not golf season, at least not in the northern hemisphere, where I believe 85% of the world's population lives. So yeah, it doesn't make much sense to release it right now. And then we got finally on October the 18th, we have the Stone Island New Balance 991 V2, which I believe you are very excited about getting these, because like I've said before, I don't know a bigger Stone Island fan than yourself, and you love New Balance as well. So this shoe, let me guess, you have circled this date.
Oh, for sure, man. These are real bad man shoes. Real bad man. I love the mesh, the black, the just the overall shape, the Stone Island branding. So I'm very much looking forward to these. And we'll let you guys know in one of the upcoming episodes whether I was able to cop a pair or not.
Yeah, definitely. I'm hoping to get a pair as well. Did you see the retail price though, man? The retail price on these is up there. Like I believe 270 euros
retail. Yeah, that's New Balance right there with high quality materials, high quality production, but unfortunately very, very high quality prices too.
Yeah, what do you even think about the fact that we're getting a 991 V2? Seems like it's kind of crazy that we're getting a V2 of this shoe, what, like 30 years after it got made?
I think the 991, I don't have it in my head. I don't know if it's 30 years old, but it is interesting that they've decided to do a V2. Maybe they're going to bring out more second generation versions of all of their classics. I would definitely enjoy that because, you know, we know how popular the 990 has been across all versions. So it would make sense for New Balance to try that with at least some other sneakers. And I guess the 991 is the first one to get that treatment.
Yeah, they're also supposed to be a... so by the way, the 991 released in 2001. So it's actually been 20 years since the original. There's also supposed to be a gray colorway dropping of the 991 V2 later this month. I don't have the date exactly. But yeah, that pretty much rounds out all of the upcoming drops. Definitely, I would say I'm looking forward to the Stone Islands the most. And thank you guys once again for listening to another episode of the Kickback Pod. Had a great time as always talking sneakers with you, Fobs. Until next time, guys. Peace.
Peace, guys. Thanks for listening.